we're going to look at the concept of loving your father and mother. I don't know about you, but I know many of us were very, very blessed to have had very loving mothers and fathers. Not everybody goes through that. It rips my heart out as a teacher to run across students who may be not in a situation that they have loving parents or are going through different things. Some of us in here may have experienced less than ideal parents. But many of us had extremely loving parents, and hopefully they are still with us and we can visit, enjoy every minute, because not all of us get to still enjoy a phone call or a visit. But Jesus dealt with this in the scripture reading that Rader had today. And this idea goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It didn't start with our scripture reading. In Exodus 20, it's part of the Ten Commandments. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We're told to honor our father and our mother. Think this, if I remember right, this is the fifth commandment. If we don't do the fifth, they may do the sixth, which is don't commit murder. I know my mom, I loved her, but she could take care of business. You know, there was no sassing, there was no talking back. You know, she could take care of business. And if I didn't do the fifth, she was guaranteed to do the sixth. But we're told, God knew what he was talking about developing loving relationships within the home. Paul would address this concept in Ephesians 6. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And our scripture reading this morning, Jesus deals with this idea of loving father and mother. Jesus says in verse 34, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, before we get any farther, so far Jesus is laying the groundwork for the cost, the high cost of following him. The rubber is meeting the road here. A lot of times we as people have this image of Jesus, just this, you know, easygoing, all love. You're going to have to make a decision as a follower of Christ. He came to bring a sword, not peace. And it may get to a point where we have to make strong decisions in our life as a Christian. He goes on to say, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those are some strong words. Sobering words. Some words that really make us sit up and think. One thing I know Jesus is not saying, to disrespect your parents. He's not saying that. Jesus would never tell anybody to go against the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. He's explaining the cost of discipleship. He's explaining the high cost of following him. And he has every right, because he's going to give himself as the sacrifice for us. He has every right to demand what the cost to be a disciple is. In Luke 9, verses 59 and 60, it says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own. Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. There's where the importance is. Here is a man that is in a state of grieving. He's lost his father. The man's not even buried yet. But he's following and listening to Jesus. And Jesus tells him to follow me, to continue to follow me. He says, the attitude that I'm seeing is, I will. Let me quickly go bury my dad. And then you've got, Jesus says, no. He's already dead. He's not going to get any deader. You go preach the kingdom of God. That's the priority. Preach the kingdom of God to people that are still alive. Preach the kingdom of God to people that word will affect while they're alive. Jesus is not being disrespectful to fathers or mothers. In Matthew 16, starting in verse 24, says, then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Unfortunately, within the next number of years, there was going to be a great persecution upon the church. And a number of Christians will lose their life for the sake of following Christ. But Jesus assures them, even though they lose their life, they will find it. They will find the true life. But there's a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That's not always easy to do. And our society, isn't that right the opposite of what society teaches? You don't have to deny yourself at all. You know, the world's full of pleasure. You deserve a break today. Have it your way. And that's just fast food. But it slops over into society. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he finishes up this, says, and he asks two extremely important questions to them. It's a statement, but they're questions. And he finishes this and he says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Those are some good questions that literally we all ask. If we haven't denied ourselves and are holding on to those, to a couple of things, are we willing to hold on to those things in exchange for our soul? We won't be willing to give that up. The rich young ruler, he couldn't. He was following Jesus in every way Jesus had told him to. But he says, there's one thing you lack. Would we be willing to give up that one thing for exchange for your soul? Some good questions that Jesus asks. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. All. Sure, I love God. Is it with all my heart? Is there room in there for other things? All your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Matthew 22, Jesus is confronted and says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? That's a good question. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's quoting that in Deuteronomy. This is the first and great commandment. That if we did that today, even though Deuteronomy is Old Testament, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, everything we do would fall into place. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus had been talking about what we shall wear, what we shall eat. Don't you ever worry? I mean, where's the bills, money for the bills going to come from? How am I going to pay for this? We do worry about those things. But Matthew 6:33, Jesus puts it all into perspective. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God knows what we need. God knows that we need these things. He created everything. He gets it. But seek him first. In Exodus 20, we're reminded how easily people slip, how easily people fall away. In Exodus 20, starting in verse 4, it says, you shall not make for yourself, and the Ten Commandments here, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, while the Israelites were down below forgetting what they had just gone through. And they wanted Aaron to make them a golden calf. And what Aaron say when Moses came to, you know, well, I put the gold in the fire and out jumped this calf. That's a whole story in and of itself. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Some of the things that we bow down to, the false gods. Sometimes we bow down and serve sin. Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. We can't be serving sin and serving God at the same time. Does work ever become our God? Does work ever take that front place in our lives, taking more time, more energy, more thoughts? Sometimes we bow down to work. Sometimes we bow down to the activities in our life. Well, I got to do this, I got to do that. We got to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, strength, and mind. Sometimes we let recreation or sports. Sometimes we let family kind of take that all out of love. All of these things, well, not sin or false gods, but God wants us to work. God wants us to have things in our life that we enjoy. He gave them to us. But he never wants him to take first place over him, ever. Even mothers and fathers, even sons or daughters. Goes back to Matthew 10, verse 37 and 38. He who loves father or mother more than me. He's not saying don't love your father and mother, but don't love them more than me, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Gives us the choice right there. Him or anything else. And we have to choose Christ. Most of us in here are Christians. We have chosen Christ. We have obeyed him. We have heard the word of God. We have repented of the sin in our life. We have confessed his name before men. We have put our Lord on in baptism and washed away our sins, and we are continuing to live a faithful and loyal life to him, hopefully putting him first. If you have not done that, if you have not committed yourself to loving God and Jesus more than anything else, we have the opportunity to do so. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to be baptized, if there's sin in your life, if you need to repent, do it. If there's sin in your life that is of a private nature between you and God, repent between you and God. If there's sin in your life that is of a public nature, that involves others, involve those others and repent. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation, and we will deal with your needs. Let's stand and sing together.